This story is called The Buddy Boy. It was a little after 8 in the morning when things got going at Miller Motor, sometimes a lot after 8, especially when you went down the steps in the back of the main shop floor, pushed open the door with a noisy spring, and entered one of the most exciting places for Miller's second son. He was just a few months beyond greatness with a fresh driver's license tucked away in his billfold. There might be a buck in there also. He wasn't that interested in bucks. He was interested in teenage relevance. The Miller Motor Body Shop offered just such an experience. He knew it wouldn't be long before his favorite teacher would be coming, so it was time to use his best skill set to make a proper impression. He picked up the push broom and started pushing. The body shop needed lots of that because of all the sanding, papering, taping, and bent-up scraps of old dented Fords had laid around. This wasn't a wreck shop, which specialized in restoring head-ons into something that could run down the road like a crooked dog. This shop, like many of the other functions at Miller Motor, had one main function: turn junkers into something that might have a chance of selling. When one of these high-mileage trades, often referred to as a slinger, entered this part of the building, it wasn't long before they ended up nice and shiny at the used car lot a couple of blocks away. It would take a magician to make that come true, and today, Miller's second son waited patiently for the magician to arrive and start the lesson. Finally, the spring on the old wooden blue door stretched, and he entered the shop. "Kid," Norm Gaydon said, "are you cleaning up or creating a better mess?" He smiled as he chuckled at the boy. The boy smiled back. "Mess," he said. The magician was unique for a combination of the times. He had the coolness of the Fonz, and he moved and looked that way. His dark wavy hair did not dare get out of place, even in a pit full of blasting air hoses and paint guns. He had an engaging personality and never seemed to get angry, at least not around a young boy. He was a teacher, and his subjects were coolness and the body business, both subjects his student was eager to pursue. "Kid, we need to get this slinger done today. It's going out on Monday," he said as he pointed to a black and white 1958 Ford four-door sedan. "Your dad is sending the slinger to college with your older brother." The kid missed a great deal of the prep work. The dents were replaced with patches of Bondo. You wouldn't be able to tell that dent was there once Norm took a careful look from the side and used his hand-sized sanding block covered with 220 grit sandpaper to restore the curves of original intent. "I need to get some primer on here, so you are going to learn the fine art of taping today," Norm said as he picked up a roll of masking tape. "Now the secret is to cover the chrome and not the car," he said as he started pulling tape from the roll. "See this?" he asked the kid. "I am putting tape on it so it covers the chrome, but it does not touch the metal of the car." He moved down the chrome strip with perfect precision and handed the roll of tape to the kid. "Your turn," he said. The kid fumbled along as Norm watched. "You're a little too tight," he said as he pointed to spots where the tape and the car body came into contact. "Two things are going to happen when the tape hits metal. Runs and the paint won't cover my beautiful bodywork," he said as he chuckled. "You are in what stands in the way of both of those problems." He brushed the boy's flat-top hairstyle as the kid gave taping another shot. Norm mixed up some primer and got out his Binks paint gun and air hose all ready. He turned the exhaust fan on, which was the only window in the shop. "Stand back, kid," he said as he stepped up and started to spray the old Ford. His work was perfect. The kid watched as Norm moved back and forth in perfect, even motion. The primer dared not run. "We'll let this dry and sand it after lunch," he said. Just like that, the spring stretched, the door opened, and Norm was gone. Just a few minutes later, the door opened again. This time it was Jerome the parts man looking around. "Norm gone?" he asked. "Just left," the kid answered. "Well, how about doing a record call?" Jerome asked. There was only one thing the kid liked more than body work, and that was driving the company wrecker. There were three wreckers in the town. Miller Motor had the biggest and the oldest. In fact, this bright Ford F1 and Holmes twin boom on the back was built the same year the kid was. It had straight gears, so there was no time to shift between one and two. You had to double clutch it. Clutch in, pull it out of gear, clutch in again in neutral, clutch in, put it in second gear, clutch out. If you shifted like that, the old girl would purr like an old kitten as she moved down the road. If not, you might hear somebody holler, "Hey, grind me a pound." A wrecker call at Miller Motor didn't usually mean a wreck. It usually meant a car wouldn't start, and that the wrecker was needed to help start the car. Jumper cables hadn't been embedded, so there was a 5-foot by 2-foot bumper covered with a flattened out used tire mounted on the front of the truck. Now the boy explained to the elderly Mrs. Lubli, "You turn the key on, put the car in second gear. I will start pushing you, and when we get up a little speed, you pop the clutch and it'll start right up." She followed his instruction, and soon enough, after about a half block of roaring and pushing, her car started off and off she went. Nonetheless, for wear, but scared to death. The kid spent the rest of the day chasing his favorite sound of a Nebraska winter. Wah, 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 click, click, click. Your battery only had a couple of cranks to get through it, things or else. By the time he got back to the garage, the exhaust fan was still running and the old Slinger 58 Ford had a new lease on life. There was a note on the blue door. "Kid," the note said, "finish up the old girl and get her out of here." This kid was excited about his role as number one body shop assistant. The paint was still wet, so it would take until morning to be dry. That would be Sunday morning, and there'd be nobody around to bother him. He had his own key, and that wasn't a problem either. For now, he could go watch basketball with his friends and maybe get a snootful of 3-2 beer if one of those friends had gone to nearby Yankton, South Dakota, pretended to be 18, the legal age, and bought down some of that watered-down variety of real beer. He and his friends escaped Friday night. His mother has already done the housework when she heard the door slam and saw her son walking out into the freezing temperatures with only his Miller Motor shop coat on protecting him. He got into his 59 Ford that he liked to drive, started it up, and backed out of the driveway in a cloud of white steam. Before long, he was inside the body shop, gently pulling off the masking tape. No runs, no pits, no errors. Perfect. He wadded the tape in the masking paper and threw it in a dumpster. He opened the shop door and started the old Ford and moved it out. Norm wouldn't notice all of the good work the kid did that winter Sunday morning. When he came in on Monday, he was too busy inspecting the damage the kid had done when he backed the car into a light pole.